Good evening. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this time, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that we can gather here. Lord, we can hear from you, Lord. What do you pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, you would correct us, you would lead us, you would change us, Lord, you would transform us, Father. Pray, Lord, that you would lead in this portion, Lord, and bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 8, verse 1. It's very interesting how I bumped into this portion. And I was trying to look into some other portions to study, and then and suddenly Pratna from the bedroom, she is reading this and she is talking about this Genesis 8. And I said, forget it. And then then I'm going through the other portions, and suddenly I see this word, and from there it began. You know, how God can lead us and guide us. So it's amazing. So in fact, they had some assignment today to talk on a bird, and so we'll see that. Probably it's Pratna's message. Okay. Verse 1, Genesis 8. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. Also the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky was restrained. Verse 3, and the water receded steadily from the earth. And at the end of 150 days, the water ceased. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark raised up the mountains of Ararat. Verse 5, and the water ceased steadily until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, and the top of the mountains became visible, and it came about at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark with his, which he had made. Verse 7, and he sent out a raven, and it flew here and there until water was dried up from the earth. But when he sent out a dove from him to see if the water was abated from the face of the land. Verse 9, but the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returned to him into the ark, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark to himself. Let's stop there. In this story, we see in verse 1 that how God remembered Noah. If you look at, God remembered not only Noah, God remembered the whole ark and all the associates of Noah inside that ark. And in the strange work of judgment being over and the family being completely saved, you know, and then coming into the remembrance of God, if you look at verse 2 and 3, also the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from sky was restrained, and the water receded steadily from the earth, and end of 150 days, water decreased. And if you look at the water, it's the picture of the judgment, right? Though he does not delight in the judgment, though it glorified, the judgment glorified him. But he is ever ready to leave the place of the judgment, right? And enter that mercy, and he delights in that mercy. God delights in that mercy, right? It's a beautiful picture where the ark is a picture of a church and the body. Right? And he sends this bird, the raven. And raven goes and it doesn't come back. I mean, there are a lot of messages on this. I mean, the raven wants to feed on the flesh, and raven wants to feed on which is dead, you know, and doesn't want to come back. Right? But the most interesting verse in this for me, when I saw this, was verse 9. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returned to him into the ark, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Then, which means all the other animals were floating, the water was still there, and dove had no business to, you know, keep its foot also on that water and on the earth. Right? But what the beauty is, the dove came back to the ark. Okay? Came back to the ark, but what happened at that moment? For the water was on the surface of all the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark to himself. You know, isn't it amazing that when the dove came there, dove didn't enter the ark on its own, but what he did, he went and he grabbed that dove, and what he did, he pulled that dove inside and kept it for himself. Isn't it a picture of the church and we standing outside of the church, and you know, Jesus Christ and the body calling us inside? Right? We will go out and see the world. I mean, I was just thinking of people standing in lines in front of the ATMs, right? I think so. They should be standing in line in front of the church, isn't it? So no money, you know, can create so unrest in you. No God, what kind of unrest you should have, isn't it? So I was just thinking of how this dove saw what's the complete unrest and found that it's not a place for me. He came to the church, to the ark, and what does Noah do? Catches hold of him and puts him inside. Okay, so that is our safety. That's our security. And when God does that, is the compassion. Isn't it? It happened to all of us when we were lost in the world at some point in time. Right? And then we came out, and the gospel was shared, not in a state of mind to accept it and believe it. Like, I mean, I can testify about what I was. I mean, I gave a very tough time. But when I came to the church, it was different. But I saw how Jesus Christ caught me and he put me inside. And he never wants to leave me from there. You know, that's a beautiful picture. So what Jesus Christ is doing, he himself is extending his arm and pulling us inside into the body. Right? No doubt we are saved from the judgment by his mercy. But there's very one important thing, you know. What does it mean to stay in the body? To stay in the body is, where is my covering? It's my protection. Right? Isn't it beautiful to be in the church, to be in the body, to be protected? Right? In Ephesians 1:13, when we believed by faith in the gospel of your salvation, it says that we were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. We were sealed. I was thinking, you know, Noah must be having wraps after wraps inside that ark. And raven chose to not come back. You know, and dove chose to come back. Because that's the place of refuge. Right? One look outside is good enough. with the spiritual eye which we have, it's good enough for us to come back. Come to this place of refuge. But who enters in that condition is a person who's got a humble heart. A humble heart will come back to the body. Right? And you know, when does he come back to the body? With a humble heart. When he knows that Jesus Christ is going to pull him back. You know, Jesus will pull him into the body. Isn't it amazing picture? It's a beautiful picture. Right? It's a place of refuge. And I want to testify this, you know. This body is a place of refuge for me. I can't trade it for anything. I was just looking at same picture in New Testament, Luke 15, the great story of prodigal son. If we read this and we say that, and he got up and he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Isn't it the same picture? The father running to him. That's a picture of a cross also, where the father didn't have to come out. Right? He didn't have to come down and come out on the streets to get his boy back. Right? And he grabbed. And if you look at the word fell in Greek, it's known as epipepto, which means to rush. And metaphorically, it says to seize, to take possession of him. You know? And that is what to seize and then take possession of him. So, that's what happened to us. Right? We were pulled into the ark. Right? And imagine God's decision to pull you and me into the ark. Right? I would like to close with two verses where why there is so much of attraction to come to the body. What could be the reason? Okay. There are several verses, but I just thought about these two verses. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. We are Jews and Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And in Ephesians 1:23, church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know why it is a fullness of him, church? Adam is the second Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. And we are his bride. That's the reason he wants to go out and take us in. Right? Without he pulling us in, he's not complete. Right? That fullness is not there unless he pulls us in. Then only he's complete. Right? That is why there is so much of attraction for us to come to the body when we are saved in one Spirit. Thank you.